morning.
Yes.
And we certainly want the Lord to have more of us, more time, more of our thoughts and everything. So just welcome to the house of the Lord, and the musicians will go and receive some. Just want to get into the service this morning. I want to, the title for this morning's, what I want to speak on is Good Soldiers. Brother Tim didn't know that when he picked that song, but that's okay. I like it when we're all led by the Spirit. So anyway, I had to sit down Friday night and had typed up some notes for today, and then all day yesterday I realized that I needed to change them. So I sat down last night. And so anyway, Lord knows what he's doing, but so we're going to talk about being good soldiers today. And the brothers are going to count the ballots and stuff here pretty quick, so if Sister Vicki doesn't mind, I'm going to have her bring up another scripture that I did not put on the card, and that's going to be in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm doing that because it really goes with what I want to talk about this morning, but it's rather lengthy, but I thought, well, since the brothers are going to be counting things so we can make announcements at the end of service, I wanted to go ahead and just kind of read this scripture and give them a chance to get through. So Romans chapter six, chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 32. This is Paul speaking. Remember, Paul was had the Alpha ministry, laid the foundation. And so here we are at the end, we're still on that foundation. And Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So ain't gonna be no hiding on that day, right? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Notice that, their own hearts. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1, read through verse 7. Paul again speaking, therefore, speaking to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If any man also strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Let's pray to him just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we move into this portion of the service, we just want to surrender to you all aspects of our being, our thoughts, our every ounce of strength that we have. And we ask, God, that you just would anoint us this morning, Lord, and that you would have said and done what you want said and done this morning. We pray, God, that you would just move upon us and also go with those that are out this morning for all the reasons and things that have come up. We ask, God, that you go and just fight these battles with them, and may they be strong soldiers this morning. And we just ask, God, that you be glorified in all these things, and we commit it in our hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Good soldiers. How many wants to be good soldiers? Paul is speaking of that here in these scriptures, how to be good soldiers. And the Lord is kind of dealing me in this direction. And a brother sent me a video this week along this line, and I kind of halfway forgotten about the video, and then when I began to write down the notes and stuff, I realized that the video he sent me would go along with this. So, Lord willing, in just a little while, we'll show you just a short clip that goes along with what I want to share with you this morning. But Paul is speaking about being good soldiers, and we've all testified that we want to be good soldiers. And so he speaks there specifically, and we've mentioned many times in the past that a good soldier will not be entangled with the cares of this life. We're talking about a soldier for Christ. And we've talked about it in the past how that if you're a soldier, you're not going to be carrying around, I've used the example in the past, you're not going to be packing around a refrigerator with you. Because a refrigerator, if you're trying to pack that on the battlefield, is sure enough going to get you killed real quick. You become an easy target. And so Paul is speaking of this, and he says, you know, to be a good soldier for him who's called us, you don't want to be entangled with the cares of this life. So you already know automatically that if you are wound up in the cares of this life, you're not going to be a good soldier. Yeah. You're not going to please the one who has called you to fight battles for him. And so Paul is speaking of that, and he says that we want to do these things that we would be able to please him who hath called us to be a soldier. Now, you know that in a kingdom, there's a king over a kingdom. He has a domain. He has subjects. He is the highest authority in the land, and he is commander in chief. Yeah. And so when those soldiers go out to fight battles, they're going out to fight and to work for the purpose that's on the king's heart, right? And so Paul is speaking here. We want to be able to please the one who has called us to be a soldier, because we're fighting for him. We're fighting for his cause, for his purpose. We believe in him. We believe what he stands for. We believe what he's trying to accomplish, and we want to give everything we have to that purpose, to our king, right? We all say amen to that. Amen. And so we do want to do that. We want to be good soldiers, and we want to please him that has called us. And so we don't want to be entangled with the cares of this life, not just to please him, but also that you not die unnecessarily on the battlefield, right? We don't want to be a casualty. There's many reasons why we want to be good soldiers. Now, life in itself is a battlefield.
That's right.
Amen? Life is a battlefield, and I've thought many times about what it would be like to have to go off to war and fight and be out there on the ground and bullets flying at you and all the things that would go with that. And it's not something that is a pretty sight, and it's not something that you would favorably want to do. But just not just the physical battles that have been fought in wars and how bad that is, but to realize that life itself is a battle, a battlefield. And because it is a battlefield, we have to treat it as such.
That's right.
A lot of times when I'm thinking about this, my mind goes to the Vietnam War and the conditions that the soldiers were at. They were in the jungle. And so there was lots of trees and bushes and all kinds of shrubs and things and that they had to fight through. And so you'd have to realize, to know that being there, that perhaps behind every tree, behind every bush, was an enemy there to take you out, to kill you.
That's right.
And so when those soldiers were there at the Vietnam War, when they dropped them in their parachutes and they hit the ground, immediately they had to go into a mode to in their mind, they had to realize and say to themselves, behind every bush, behind every tree is potentially an enemy who wants to kill me, so I have to treat it as such.
Yeah.
I have to move through this battlefield strategically, and I have to move in such a way, knowing that behind this tree might be an enemy, and behind that bush there might be an enemy, and I'm not just going to be walking along.
Yeah.
You know? You're not going to be doing that. If you believe it's a battlefield and that there's an enemy there that wants to kill you, you're not going to be walking around just having a good old time and so forth. You're going to treat that battlefield with respect, and you're going to engage it knowing the danger that is there for you and so against you. And so we have to treat life as a battlefield. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Behind every tree and behind every bush is an enemy.
That's right.
And we make a big mistake when we don't think of it that way.
Yeah.
When you get up every morning, you got a blank day ahead of you, and when you step in on the floor, you've got enemies right there.
That's right.
And every turn and every conversation, every thought, every opportunity, that enemy's right there with every opportunity to try and defeat you. When you have an opportunity to read your Bible, he's right there to stop you.
That's right.
If you have time to spend time in prayer, you want a time that should, he's right there to stop you.
Yeah.
When you would go and you would encourage somebody, he's right there to stop you. When you do all the things that you should be doing as a Christian, he's always right there to stop you. When you pick up a book in the bookstore, the devil's right there.
That's right.
Right there to make sure that what you pick up is wrong. And he has tactics. He wants you to think it's the right thing, but slip something in there on you.
Right.
And when you go, and you want to go and rent a movie or something like that, he's right there. He's right there. So behind every bush, behind every tree, behind every moment, every opportunity, every conversation, the devil's right there to trip you up.
That's right.
That's where we're going with that this morning. And we make a big mistake when we don't look at it like that. When we get out of the bed and say, I'm just going to go through my day and there's no dangers. Big mistake right there, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Because life is a battlefield. And so because it is, we pay attention to the orders that come to us from our captain, from our king in this case. And he's the one that sends instructions down, and it comes down through all the commands of different generals and so forth, and right down through your platoon leader or whatever, and perhaps I'm platoon leader or whatever, I don't know, and it comes down through Apostle Paul or through Brother Branham in our day. You see what I'm saying? But these things come down, and we pay attention to the commands that are given us because it tells us what we're fighting for, and it tells us how we should fight and what to do in certain cases, and you name it. It's all there. Right? Because no king, no captain, no general would send his people out there without giving them what they need to get the job done.
Right.
American government might do that to some of their soldiers, but you know what? God won't do that. God ain't going to send you out to the battlefield and not provide you what you need to overcome your enemy.
Right.
So we pay attention to orders so we know how to fight, and we know what to expect, and we know how to deal with situations. So we pay attention to orders, and we pay attention to everything around us. We look at everything around us, and we look at it and say, is there an enemy laying right here? When you pick up a book, or you get a movie, or you do this, or you do that, or you get on Facebook, or whatever it is, you look at that, and you should be. And I'm going to rebuke you if you don't do it. If you're not doing this, I'm rebuking you. You should pick that up, and you should say, there perhaps is a devil laying here to try and trip me up. And that's the way that you should engage everything you do in this world. When you come to church, you should engage without terror. The devil is here to trip me up, and I'm looking, I'm watching to see where he's at. What's he doing? And I'm taking the instructions that's been given to me from higher command, and I'm putting it in place, and I'm interrogating with what I've been trained with.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, and I'm watching, and I'm looking for these enemies. And when I find one, I'm going to get rid of him. You see what I mean? And we make a big mistake if we don't engage our daily life that way with everything we do,
right,
at work or play. If we don't have this kingdom and what we're fighting for on mind, and it's number one and it's first, and before I do anything else, I want to make sure there's no devil in it.
Yeah, right.
And if there is, I'm going to make sure that I slay him first before I do anything else.
Yeah.
That's what we should do, because that's number one. And so we pay attention to everything around us. Now, Brother Man tells us that there's only two powers. We know this. The Bible, if you read your Bible, you know this. There's only two powers. So in the greatest battle ever fought, he tells us, he says, now do you know that we've had wars after wars and rumors of war? And if the earth stands, we'll have plenty more wars. But do you realize that there's really only two powers in all the universe? And of all of our differences between nations and difference between each other and everything, it all mounts up to two powers. And there's only two powers, and there's only two kingdoms, two powers and two kingdoms, and all the rest of the little minor things are connected either with either one of those powers. So he tells you everything, every disagreement, every battle, every war that ever happened between nations, every disagreement, everything, it's all tied back to one of those two powers.
Yeah.
We make a mistake when we think it's not. It's all tied back to those two powers. And he said, and those powers is God's power and Satan's power. And that's what every war and every disorder and everything that comes along, it's either controlled by God's power or Satan's power. Because that's the only two powers there is. And that is the power of life and the power of death. That's the only two powers. So there's only two powers, and one is the power of life, and the other is the power of death. And those two powers are warring against each other. And obviously that war started in heaven, fell to this earth, and now it's going to end up at Armageddon, and it's raging and battling out through people. So there's only two powers. And so when your Brother Bam tells us in another portion, another sermon, he talks about it and he says, now, and he tries to illustrate this, and I wasn't there, so I don't see how he did it, but I just take what he said and I try to illustrate it myself. But he talked about there being a channel that was across here, and he said, you know, that's humanity. And he spoke of it for the most part being dark. But he said, every once in a while, you'll little see a streak of light in there. He said, that's Christians, believers. But he said, this humanity, this channel here, and he said, above that, there's three dimensions. He talks about the angels and the saints that have gone on and God. And he says, beneath that is those that have gone on that are lost and the demons and Satan himself. And he says, this channel that we're in here in time, where we're on this earth and there's so much corruption and yet there's Christians here and there, he said, this channel is influenced from either from above or from beneath. So it's either influenced from one power or the other, as we just read in here. Because there's only two powers.
Right.
And so everything that's going on is influenced by one of those powers. And as a believer, we want to be influenced from above, which we just said was those two powers is the power of life or the power of death, right? And so that which is above, where the angels of God are and the saints that have gone on and God himself, that's the influence from the dimension of life. And yet beneath us is a lower dimension, and that's the dimension of influence that comes that is of death. And so when we think about the dimension above that comes from God, and God is everything that's good, everything that's righteous, everything that's pertaining to life. Right? Because it's that place, that power of life. And so everything that's good, you know, the scripture said every good gift, every perfect gift coming down from above.
Right.
not from beneath, but he comes down from above, from the Father of lights, into whom there is no variable, so shadow of turning. And so everything that's good, everything that's right, everything that's perfect comes from God. And everything that's perverted comes from beneath. That perversion does.
Right.
Now, let's say, for instance, I made a machine, and it was a machine that you could put pecans in it, and you could crank a handle and push a lever at a certain time, and it would spit out, over here, it would spit out the pecan goodie inside, the whatever they call that in there, and over here, it would spit out the shells. And I know they make machines like this, but I'm using this as an example. Now, if I'm the creator, and I think this through, and I'm thinking, you know, if I crank it right here, and about the time when it gets there, if I'll shove this lever right here, right at that time, voila, it'll spit out the product that I want, the way I want it, and this is the way it all works, and I'm the creator and the designer of it, and it satisfies me. Now, if somebody else comes along and says, now, you know what, when you crank that, you don't need to push that lever right here, you need to push it over here at this other time. Now, who knows more about it? Who knows more about it?
Yeah.
The God that created it.
Right.
So if you start doing it at a different time, are you going to get the same results?
No.
So nobody can come with a better idea than God.
That's right.
Because he's the creator.
Right.
He framed the entire universe. And man, and this is what happened in heaven. Remember, God had an economy and a kingdom in heaven, and Lucifer thought that he could come up with a better way for things to happen. And if you want to look into the Bible and listen to the message, you'll find out that Lucifer wanted a more beautiful kingdom. And so, you know, God made things that are pretty. We know we look at a beautiful sunset and anything like that. And so, but he's not featured in beauty. That's not the crowning attribute of God. It's not something beautiful. The crowning attribute of God is his character.
That's right.
And so, but Lucifer got this idea that he could do a better job in heaven, that if he would feature himself in beauty, not character, by that beauty he could deceive a portion or heaven. He could get heaven to go after him, and he could begin to be worshipped like God by taking that beauty and that gift that he had, and he went off in that direction. So he thought he could do something better than God. Did it work? No, because God is the author of these things, and he knows all about it more than anybody else does. And so Satan, when he got cast down to the earth, when all his demons come down here, they get anointed into people, and guess what people do? People come up with the idea they can do things better than God.
Yeah.
And so when the Word of God says this is the way things should be, they got a different idea. This is denomination.
Right.
See, this is the way this works. They come up with a different idea. And so instead of people coming down to the altar and crying out to God and getting the Holy Ghost and slobbering on the altar, they come up with ideas, and you know, it's not necessary. That's belittling to go down there and have to do that. I tell you, we could really get more people in the church if we'd make it a little bit easier, a little bit simpler.
Uh-huh.
And so we just come up with an idea that people don't have to go down there and cry out to God. We'll just ask them in the service if they want Christ, and they have them raise their hand, and if they raise their hand, then we'll say, okay, would you meet with the pastor at the end of service, and we'll let you sign your name on a book right here, and we'll put you on our mailing list, and then every time headquarters wants to know how many people we have, we'll include you in that number. And that way, you know, we'll have a record that you're a Christian, and you don't have to go down there. And besides, it'll be cheaper because the cleaning crew won't have to go and clean all the slobbers off the bench up front. Sounds good, but it don't work.
No.
And you can take that in any direction you want to go if it's opposite or contrary or deviates or even just perverts just a little bit of God's word. That's Satan there thinking he can do a better job, and that's people under his anointing trying it, and it'll never yield the results. Why? Because the original word The original spoken word, word is original seed. That original seed is the only thing that can produce the right thing to begin with. And if you hybrid that, you'll never produce what the original seed's, right? That's why God had to bring back to us in this end time that original seed,
yep.
That original word, because of people who are birthed by that, they'll produce the original results, and they won't be hybrid, they won't be mixed with nothing, and it won't be a different idea than the word.
Yep.
It'll be the word.
Yep.
See, so that's what Satan was doing. And so God being in that dimension above is everything righteous and everything good, and everything up there works the way it made it. This is the realm of the original spoken word seed. It's right. Everything's right. And if you look into that dimension and you find out in that dimension how the universe should work and how all the stars should be, and you look in that dimension and find out how we should live each day and how we should marry and how we should raise our children and how we should work from day to day, you look in that dimension and you'll find out what works. And produces the results that God said it would produce when you crank it and push the lever at the right time. You'll find that, see? But what if you don't look up there from that dimension? Well, if you don't look in that dimension, you've only got one other place you can look. And it's that other source. That other source. And I mean, if it's one word different than what's in that dimension from God, one word's all it takes, then you're looking at a different source and you will not produce the results that come from that other influence from that other dimension. Okay? So everything that's good and right, because God is the author of the universe. He knows how these planets and things should be moving and so forth. He knew exactly, before he ever created everything, he knew exactly what the effects would be. Right now, when we look up in the sky and we want to look at this zodiac or whatever and see where everything is, people using that to predict and try and, you know, determine, and the signs are, they're telling what's going on. We don't know how to read it, you know, but it's there. But he knew exactly what the sky would look like today. He knew it back then.
Yeah.
And he knew that when he caused the sun to go back 15 degrees, or Joshua to have the sun stand still for a day, he knew exactly how that would change what we'd have today, because it had to, right? Unless he sped it back up and put it back where it was going to be. He knew those things because he's the author of it. He knows how this works. He's the author of life. He's the giver of every good gift. And so he knows how life should work. He knows how we as believers and as Christians, he knows what is the correct way for us to live and be prosperous and get done what we need to do as Christians in this world from day in and day out. He knows how we should raise our children. He knows how we should conduct business on the job. He knows these things. He's an expert in these things. And he's the only source that we should go to. He and someone in his kingdom who's following after his pattern. That's the only source that we can come. That's where we want to get the inspiration from. From his word, from the Holy Spirit, from that realm from above. That's where we want to get our instructions from. And if we deviate anywhere from that, then we're getting it from beneath. And it's coming from death when it's like that. Now, I said all that to say this. This is the kingdom we're fighting for. This is what we're fighting for. It's a realm, it's a domain, it's a kingdom, it's a power.
Right.
From above, that's life. And that's what we're fighting for. That's the thing that we're on the battlefield right now, today. You're battling right now for that kingdom. And you're being right now either influenced from above or from beneath.
That's right.
You're being influenced from above by the words that's being spoke to you in the environment of the worship. Or you're being influenced by beneath when you let your mind go somewhere else off of the service.
That's right.
That's your battle. You're at it right now.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it. See? So you are soldiers. And you're fighting right now for one kingdom or another. If you're sitting there going, I wish Brother Tony would finish early so I could go do something else, you're being influenced from a kingdom that's contrary to the gospel.
Yeah.
See? And so God help me to make everybody understand you're fighting a battle and you're standing for one kingdom or the other. At every moment, these things are transpiring. And so, that's the kingdom we're fighting for. We're not fighting for material possessions so much. That's not it. Because Scripture said we seek first the kingdom of heaven and these other things will be added. He let us have the things that, right? But back to what I said earlier. See? He's number one.
Right.
And before I do anything else, I'm going to make sure I slay the devils.
Yeah.
And then after I slay the devils, then if the fruits of that allows me to sit down with my brothers and sisters and have a bowl of ice cream, then that's what I'll do. But I by no means will go and have the bowl of ice cream before I slay the devil.
Right.
See what I'm saying? By no means take a bed of ease if you know there's a devil you've got to destroy. Because if you take the bed of ease and you haven't dealt with him, you're already on the other side, at least for that moment at least.
Yeah.
You're already, see what I'm saying? So you deal with these things when they're there. And so you fight. So we're not looking after material things. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about living before God and before man the way we should. Living before God and treating our brothers and sisters the way we should. Rendering to God everything that's due him and not giving it to another. Right? And treating our brothers and sisters the way God would have us treat them rather than some other way.
Yeah.
This is, it doesn't get much more broader than, I mean, that covers it pretty much right there. This is our battle to take this kingdom that stands for what's right and good and righteous and what promotes life and what displaces the devil. That's what we stand for.
Yeah.
And so we want to take that and we want to live it. And as we live it, then we're going to render to God the things that belong to him, and we're going to render to our brothers and sisters the thing that God says belongs to them. Right? And as long as we're connected to the right dimension, then we will honor God the way we should, and we will treat our brothers and sisters like we're supposed to. Furthermore, you'll treat yourself the way you're supposed to. And so, that's what it's all about. Doing everything that we can to promote this kingdom. How do we do that? By living it. By living it every day. By modeling it before your brothers and sisters and before people in the workplace. By teaching it. Showing that it's a way of life. Showing that it works. This actually works. You connect to this dimension and these foul things on your life will go away. God will drive them away. And so by your testimony, people, they can see what you were and they can see what you are now and they look at that and say, it works.
Right.
And so you model it, you teach it, you share it, you live it, showing that it works. And God coming along behind you with signs and wonders, backing you up to show that it's right, showing the truth of it. See, because nobody else can do it. Because God's the only one that's a creator. He's the only one that can create these things and do these things. So God will back it up with signs and wonders. To follow, to testify. Give you a good example. Just a little simple. Brother Tim singing that Onward Christian Soldiers. To match the sermon this morning. That's God backing it up. See, God showing that he speaks to Brother Tim on leading on what song to go. And Tim might be like Brother Perry Green did, you know, when Brother Bradham said, I sure am glad Brother Perry followed the leading of the Holy Spirit to come out here and open this church in Tucson. And Brother Perry said, is that what I did? Brother Tim might say, was that what I did? Yeah, that's right. See, God testifying. Brother Daniel having a burden on his heart for Brother Matthew. To God testifying, right? You see what I'm saying? And so you live it, and God comes along and backs it up and shows that it's right and has an element to it that only God can be in. Where everybody else, all they can offer is sorrow and discomfort and just that we'll just, you know, pat you on the back and let you know we're thinking of you through this hard time. But God's people, they have an element of something that works there that's God testifying that it's right. That only he can do. So this is the kingdom that we stand for. We want to be good soldiers for this kingdom. And this is what we're fighting for. To live it right. To express it. That others see the right thing. That they get thirsty. Because you're salty, and they want what you've got, and that you live in such a way that God puts his mark on it and shows that it's him, that he's among a people that will live like this, regardless of what their opposition is. That's what we want to do. That's the kingdom we're standing for. That's what we want to fight for. But we have an enemy, and that's Lucifer and his kingdom, his people, his influence, which we know pretty much is most of the world. But he is our enemy, and he wants to fight against everything that's good and right and righteous and everything that leads to life. He wants to fight and pervert it so that it leads to death. He wants you to become an asset to his kingdom. He wants you to be an asset on the battlefield. You know that all those tanks that are out there on the battlefield, they have an asset number. Belongs to the U.S. military. They know, you know. Satan wants you to be an asset. I have my people on the field. They're fighting for me.
Yeah.
Well, God wants his people on the field too. He wants them to have a mark on them that shows who they belong to too.
Yeah.
The seal of God. You see what I mean? So we have this enemy, Lucifer, and his people, his kingdom, that's out there, and their sole purpose is to defeat us because we're on a battlefield in life.
Yeah.
And he wants to defeat us. And as I said earlier, every person is influenced from above or from beneath,
right,
from that enemy, one or the other. And so we know, since Lucifer is our enemy, and we call him Lucifer, he's the devil, Satan, however you want to look at it, but he is our enemy. And he opposes everything that comes from that other dimension. Everything.
Yeah.
And he's there to fight you every moment of the day. He's there to fight you even when you sleep.
That's right.
I can tell you, Satan makes attacks on a household, because I know of more than one time throughout the years, the nights where I haven't slept well and Satan has tried to battle me in my dreams, that other people in my household would get up the next day and they'd say, "Man, I had terrible dreams last night."
Yep.
So did I. He attacks. Even when you're sleeping, he's not.
Uh-huh.
Now, I said we make a big mistake, not arming ourselves with the thought to realize that every time I take a step, I'm potentially coming in contact with another devil. Another way he wants to trip me up and make me a casualty of war so he can defeat me.
Yeah.
See? And so he's got all his enemies and so forth, Satan does out there, and he's opposing us on every hand. And so every time we make a step, he's there. Remember what Paul said, when I do good, what's present? Evil's present.
That's right.
Can't get away from it. At least until God takes us from this battlefield, we can't get away from it. And so, you see, that's why the world doesn't like you. They don't like you.
That's right.
That's why the world wants to take Ten Commandments out of school that they took out. That's why the world wants to take crosses down. That's why the world wants you to shut up and not testify anymore about Jesus.
Yeah.
What are they doing? You can't blame them. All they're doing is fighting for the kingdom they belong to.
Right.
See what I'm saying? They're doing the same thing we want to do. They're anointed of a dimension that's a kingdom, a power, and they are assets and subject to that power and that kingdom, and all they're doing is trying to make sure their kingdom doesn't get defeated. So they have to attack, and they have to say, "I don't like that stuff," and they have to make the laws be changed to make it harder for Christians, and that's why they have to push their gay agenda.
Yeah.
That's why people can't even refuse to bake a cake without getting fined over $100,000. See what I'm saying? Why? Because all they're doing is fighting for the kingdom. They're wanting to make sure they don't go down.
Yeah.
You can't blame them. They just happen to be from the dark side. So they're just fighting for their own kingdom, just like you and I would. Just like you and I did when we were on that side, remember? We were good assets. I was a good asset for the devil out on the battlefield. People could look at me and tell me who I belong to. They could listen to the words that come out of my mouth and know what I belong to. They could watch what I stuck in my mouth and see what I belong to. They did. That's right. See? Oh, for the amazing grace of God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
You know, as any minister would probably be ashamed to admit stuff like that, but you know what? By the grace of God. Hey, I'm a trophy.
Yeah.
And so I got to say so. You know, and we all are. We're all trophies of the grace of God. So, Satan is here to warfare against you in every way he can. Now we're going to tie this back to Romans chapter 1. Remember what it said in Romans. It said first they knew God. They knew him.
Yeah.
Right? But they failed to glorify him as God. They failed, I'm going to use my own words to express this, along with what Paul said, but they knew God and they failed to keep God in high regard. They failed to keep him up there where he belongs, where nobody else can be there. God deserves that position because that's the character that he has. So when they knew God, they failed to glorify him as God, but they became vain in their imaginations. And they began to make God into something like of a four-footed beast or a creature or some sort of the creation or something like that. What they begin to do, because you know idolatry, they usually have images and all kinds of things like that. But instead of allowing God to be retained in their knowledge as the highest and most supreme being, they begin to make him something lesser and begin to make images like beasts and four-footed creatures. We're talking about idolatry. But they begin to reduce him from the character that he had as creator above all that. They begin to reduce him down and make him out to be something like this. Right? This is what it described. We read it. So as they failed to keep him up there in high regard and attributing to him everything due him, as I said a while ago, as they begin to come from that and take away from God and begin to express him and say, well, our God is this golden calf or you know, or he's like this or he's like that. This is why God said, don't make these things. Don't make these graven images, see? Because none of that stuff can be a reflection of him. Why? Because the image that he was going to have was going to be Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And none of these other things could express that kind of glory. And so they begin to move him down to become something like a four-footed beast or creature or creeping thing or something like that. And so the scripture said there in Romans that when they did that, when they begin to not regard God in high degree and begin to make him like that, then he just let him go.
Yep.
He just let go of them. And what did they go to? Look at the filth and corruption they went to just by him letting go of them, and they went right straight to their own imaginations, to their own heart, to their own desires of what was in them as fallen creatures. If God don't put his hand on your life, guess where you go? But if you know God and you begin to reduce him down from what he is, guess what happens? It's not good. This is not a good thing to do. It's not good to know God and then reduce him down or walk away from him. And this is what they did. So the end result is that when they did that, they went right to their vain lust that was embedded in their fallen flesh, and look what they did. Men with men, women with women,
right.
Sodom,
right.
And all the other stuff that was listed in there that we read. That's exactly where you go when you don't have God. Listen, if you have one of those attributes we listed there, if you have one of those reigning and ruling in your life, you know the answer. You know what's causing it. You know why it's that way. You have to stay connected with God if you want to come out clean on the other side and not have those things on you. And so they begin to reduce God down. Now this is what Satan wants to do. I'm going to try to pull it back here. We got this realm above that's righteous and it's life, and everything from beneath it's death. Okay, and that's the kingdom we're fighting for, and so up here we hold God in high regard. We hold him right where he's supposed to be, and up here we treat our fellow man like we're supposed to. We don't abuse man, and we don't abuse ourselves, right? That comes from down here. But if we fall away from that, then first thing happens, we don't hold God in high regard. And the next thing that happens is we don't treat our fellow men right. And we begin to abuse him and we begin to abuse ourselves. There's Romans 1. Romans 1. What happens? When they fail to be influenced from this upper realm, they become the expression of the lower realm, which is death. And everything perverted, and everything unrighteous, and everything wicked, and every foul thing that you can think of comes from there. And that's where it goes to when we're not influenced from above. So we want to fight for this kingdom, and if we're fighting for this kingdom, that means we have to fight against all this other stuff that's contrary to it. We have to fight against Sodom. We have to fight against anything that wants to take God down from where he belongs.
Yeah.
Anything that tells man he can treat his fellow man wrong. Anything that tells a man he can defile himself. It's all wrapped up in there. Our gospel of righteousness that we stand for, it's all wrapped up right in this one thing that we're talking about here. To fight this battle for this kingdom of heaven and be against all this wickedness.
Yeah.
And so, Satan wants you to, he wants you to take God down from where he was. And these spirits, you know, one of these things is woman worship.
Yeah.
Way back here in the Old Testament, see? Because Satan knows that it's the man Christ Jesus. So he's got to pull away from the man and make it the woman.
Yeah.
That's right. And it was way back there. And that's what all these pagan holidays all go back to, that nonsense. And the woman's in there. And in the New Testament, it finally became full known as, I call it Mariolatry. The worship of Mary.
Yeah.
Right? But that was way back in the Old Testament. And even when Jesus was walking on the earth, that spirit was there ready to come forth. Because they said one day, they said, blessed are the wounds that bear thee, the paps that gave you suck. Talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus turned around and corrected that thing. Right? See, there that was. Let's give preeminence to the mother of Jesus. See? It was right there then. Now what are you doing? You're trying to make somebody else have attributes that should only be attributed to God and what he's done.
Yeah.
Try to make it with his mother. Try to make it with a disciple. Try to make saints, all those around him, we can go pray to them. And when the Bible plainly says there's one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. Right? Plainly says that. But what happens? See, it can't stay up in this realm because up here is life and victory and all the good things. So it can't stay here if Satan's involved. He's got to pull away from that. So he has to introduce something that waters God down.
Right.
He has to make somebody else have some glory other than God. Or at least try to make somebody equal with God.
Right.
Try to make a vicar. He's instead of God. See what I'm saying? So when you see that happening, that's why we fight against these things.
Yeah.
That's why we're against the Catholicism and denominational teaching, the teaching of man that's not with this Bible. That's why, because it's not from up here in the righteous realm. It's from down here beneath. And death is in it. I don't care what it looks like. It's got death in it.
Right.
And that's why we fight against it. So they try to make Mary out to be something great. What are you doing? Taking away. Not regarding God in high degree.
Yeah.
Not leaving him where he should be. Begin to try to water it down and make him out to be something else. Put other characters up there and make it look like they can be deities too. And right there, when that happens, what happens? They go right straight from that, and before it's over with, they're dishonoring their own and they have pedophilia and everything else in their ranks.
Yeah.
Why? Because he walked away from God. I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what happened, especially in these days. When people walk away from God, they wind up over on that, in that other camp like that.
Yeah.
Committing things that human beings wouldn't even, you wouldn't think human beings could do. And so that's what Satan wants to do, is pull God down. He wants to assign attributes of God to someone else, like saying that these angels, these fallen angels, could come down and could have children by and Brother Brown said, can't do that. Satan can't do that. He's not a creator.
Right.
But most of the church world thinks that's possible. Most of the church world are not rock solid on the fact that Satan cannot create. The only thing he can do is pervert. He can only pervert. That's it. So what happens when you have this belief that these angels and Satan can do all these things? What are you doing? You're taking attributes that only belong to God and you're trying to apply it to something else. And that's bad. That's wrong. So we keep God where he belongs. We keep him up there in high regard and know that he's the ultimate, he's the absolute, and we're going to stay with him. So Satan wants to make you just water down your God and give attributes of him to something else and believe some false thing. And then Satan wants you to become an abuser of your mankind and of your brothers and sisters. Well, you wouldn't be brothers and sisters, as, you know, in that camp you wouldn't be. But so he wants you to become an abuser of mankind, an abuser of yourself. And this is what we were talking about in Romans. So now, think of this. We've said this many times. If your relationship with God is right, your relationship with man will be right. And when you mess up with him, you cannot keep it right with your brothers and sisters. If it messes up with God, you will abuse your brothers and sisters. You will begin to manifest these things that's on that other. See what I'm saying? So we must keep him. You know, and in ages gone by, there was grace for the ignorance. But once God has brought this truth before us and has laid it in our life and made it clear to us, we've got to hold that. We can't compromise. And so this is the battle we fought. What? That we're fighting. We're fighting against everything that is contrary to this kingdom above. We're fighting against the devil and all his things. Anything that's perverted from the word, that's what we're fighting against. And so, you know, when it gets perverted bad enough, God has to destroy it. Did you know that? You know, when you take pure seed, it's not hybrid, it produces pure seed, non-hybrid. But once you take that seed and hybrid with something else, that product is ruined. It can never be what it was. Because genetic information is lost. Genetic information that was up here in the original is not there now. How do you get it back? You don't. So only God can actually perform a miracle and actually take it back to the original seed. Satan can't do that because it takes a creative act to do that. It takes creative act to take an end-time church that was born and raised in fallen Pentecost and believes in all this nonsense. It takes a creative act from God to take a church and restore them back to that original word. Satan can never do that. He's only a perverter. He's not a creator. So restoration can't even come from Satan. Satan can't even go, you know, I made a mistake. I'm going to back up and undo that. I'm going to go back over here. It never happened. See what I'm saying? So as long as we remember that he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he don't change, and God has a pattern, and he always follows that pattern, we'll be doing good to remember those things. Amen. So God has to destroy it when he gets polluted and all messed up. And so this enemy that wants to fight against us, that wants to pervert these things, that wants to take away the highest position in regard of God and make him something less, and wants to make us become abusers of ourselves and mankind, this is the kingdom we're fighting against. So behind every tree, when there's publications and there's radio programs and there's websites and there's movies that they put out that's contrary to this kingdom above, we're against it. And it always comes down to this, because this battle that we fight spiritually fleshes out. Is it all come back? And so, you know, you can take a person who outwardly, they do all the things right and still not have the right anointing in their heart. But we're talking about the right anointing, the right truth, something that's living in the heart of man. And they flesh it out and it expresses the kingdom of God. And if that's happening, that's going to clash against that other side. It just has to be. It's going to clash. So that's the enemy behind every tree. Every move that we make, we're encountering that. Where he's there to try and trip us up, and make us fall, make us not be good expressions of the kingdom of heaven. And as I said earlier, we're foolish to think that he's not doing that. We are so foolish to think that we could pick up anything or listen to anything or engage in anything that Satan might not potentially be there. And it's our mistake when we don't engage with that as a soldier of Jesus Christ to fight those things if they're ungodly. Because Satan wants you to give in. He wants you just to bow down, just let it go this time, it'll be fine. And it's never that way. You know, the flesh wants more flesh, spirit wants more spirit, right? And the Spirit of God is at enmity against the flesh, right? They can't get along. So if you've got Spirit of God in you, it's constantly hounding that flesh. It isn't me. It's always condemning the flesh, always condemning the actions of the flesh, always condemning the thoughts and the things that the flesh would try to produce because there's a warfare. It's that white dog, black dog. Thank God for it, that there is something in us that says no to these things. And so, how do we defeat it? How do we defeat this enemy? Well, we defeat it by being good soldiers. Right? We defeat him by being good soldiers. Sister B can go ahead and put that video up and be ready to play just in a minute. We can defeat him by being good soldiers. And you know, soldiers aren't babies.
Right.
Soldiers don't have to be petted. You know what I'm saying? So, we want to be good soldiers. And the way we be good soldiers is not to be entangled with the cares of life and to fight and realize you're on the battlefield. You're not out here to have a picnic. You know, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Now, what do you do with that sword? Well, there's a couple of things a king can do with that sword of his. But the sword destroys enemies. But he also uses that sword tonight to promote a man in his kingdom, right? The same weapon that is used to destroy the enemies is what promotes you to a higher position in the kingdom of God, the Word. The same word that he destroys, that you can use to destroy your enemy with, that same weapon is also the same one that he uses to raise you up. And you know, you have to stand there, and I think they take that sword and they lay it on one side or lay it on the other. I don't know what the procedure is. But you got to trust that king. You got to trust that general, or whoever it is that's doing that. You got to trust him to such a degree that he has to lay that right there where all he has to do, if he didn't want to, he could just... But you see what I'm saying? You got to commit yourself to your captain, to your leader. You got to commit yourself to such a degree that if that means you're going to die on the battlefield. You see what I'm saying? It's not, being on a battlefield is not something you play with. This is not something that's simple. It's not a picnic. It's like I said a while ago, you think about that when, you know, we all had to rest. Think about the soldiers out there, and they put men up on guard and watch at night. And I imagine that was probably one of the worst things there was, to know that you had to stay awake and watch. Because all the rest of the army had to sleep, and it was up to you. You had to watch to make sure the enemy... And if you fell asleep on the job, to me, that'd be pretty severe. I'd be wanting that guy out of there if he fell asleep while I was trying to rest. Because if he would fall asleep, and then that enemy could come in, and everybody could die because of one. Everybody could die because of one. So everybody as a soldier in their position, you've got to do what your job is to do. And sometimes it's rough and there's bullets flying everywhere, but you got to do it. And why? Because that's what this battle is all about. So it's not for the faint-hearted. It is for us to be good soldiers, be firm, and do our job even when it's tough. So Sister Vicki, if you play this, hopefully you'll be able to hear it. And clean up in just a minute. Samson Shady sent this to me.
I am a soldier, a prayer warrior of the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end with nothing, I will still come out even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior. Even death cannot destroy me. But when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior in this army, and I'm marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier, a prayer warrior, and God has my back.
Amen. All right? Now how do you feel about it? He just said in that little video what I spent an hour almost telling you. You know what I'm saying? So, how many movies do we need to watch to keep us happy? To keep us fighting for the Lord? How much time does it have to go our way and things just have to be the way I want it or else I just can't get by? How much is it going to be like that? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
When Brother Branham, he talked about Christians being rugged, you know, but here we are in Laodicea and people are soft, easy living. This is the trial of our day, see? We got to overcome this. And so in saying all this to point out that we are in Laodicea. Laodicea wants us to fall into that condition. And we've got to look at Laodicea and count it as an enemy to us. And we have to battle against it and fight against it and tell it, no, you're not taking me down this road and making me lukewarm and so forth. So we're rugged. And it's time to fight. It's time to fight on every front. It's time for us to take back the time and the resources that we have, in our ignorance in the past, have let Satan take.
Yeah.
All the things that he's taken from, it's time for us to realize, just like we said there on the video, we are not going to be defeated.
Right.
How can the believer be defeated? Because even in death, you're not defeated.
Yeah.
You get to be promoted, and he brings you back, and you rule on the earth again. And so, there is no death of a Christian on the battlefield, if you really look at it. As long as you're staying on the battlefield fighting for the kingdom. And so there's no death. It's just whenever he calls you from the battlefield. That's all there is to it. So we can't be defeated. Hell can't keep you and hold you. Right? Nothing's going to stop you as a believer. You might go through anything and everything. But it won't change you. It won't turn you around. You'll just keep right on fighting for the kingdom of heaven. And that's it. So they can't make you mad enough. They can't hurt your feelings enough. They can't rob you enough. They can't talk bad about you enough. They can't run over you enough. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We spend so much time, what? You see what I mean? We're talking about needing to come to a rapture.
Yeah.
We're talking about needing to be, and you know, this is part of what the sermon I had the night before last that I written down. But when he said you'll become an invincible army, what's it going to take to get you to that spot? What's it going to take to get us to the spot where he looks and says, there's my army, they're invincible?
Uh-huh.
Right? What's it going to take for that to happen? To where we come to that spot? When the scripture said that he puts in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, for the perfecting of the ministry and for the work of the ministry and bringing us to that full measure of the stature of Christ. What's it going to take to get this people at the end time to where He looks and says, there they are. They're equal with Christ. They're at that full stature. And so I'm not trying to get you to, trying to define exactly what it takes to get you there. God knows what that is. But once you're there, what kind of person are you going to be? You're going to have to be babied and petted and cards and this and that. And he didn't shake my hand or anything like that. No, that's not. And we don't have a lot of troubles with that in here. But do you understand? We got to be rugged. And no matter what comes our way, we're still Christians and we're still fighting. We're still fighting the battles that's before us. So we want to take back what we've let Satan have from us. All the times where we needed to be petted and pampered and all that, go take it back from him. And let him know that you don't have to have that stuff to be a Christian. That you're committed. That you are here, you've enlisted till eternity. Amen. So we want to take those things back. And I'm going to end by saying this. And this may sound, you know, because the scripture says, with everything that's in you, to live peaceably with all men. Right? And this, what I'm about to say may sound contrary to this, but I think you know what I mean when I say this. Quit worrying about offending your enemy. And the reason why I say that is this. That other side, that other dimension, they're offended by your very existence. The fact that you're here on this earth and you're a Christian, they're offended. Whether you open your mouth or not, they're offended. Whether you come out of your house and give praise to Jesus publicly or not, they're offended. You know what I'm saying? They are. Because they're from the other side. And quit compromising the gospel so that you don't offend. Don't be arrogant. Do what you can to live with peaceably with all men. But don't compromise so that you won't offend them. Because they're offended. If you said, you know what, okay, I tell you what, world. You don't like the crosses. You don't like churches. I tell you what, we Christians, I tell you what we'll do. We'll close all our church doors, and we'll just, in the privacy of our own home, with our own families, we'll just worship. We won't even go house to house. We'll just, our own little household, we'll be Christians, and we'll never come outside the house and express anything in Christianity. We'll just serve God in our homes. And they'd take you up on that offer, and then a little while later, they'd say, you know what, we can't even allow that to happen. We can't even allow to have, why? Because they're offended that you even exist. You come along and say, okay, I'll tell you what. We won't even worship in our homes like that. I'll just think about Jesus in my own mind. I'll just do it that way. I won't tell my kids, I won't tell my family, and we won't worship. I'll just do that, and maybe that'll satisfy them. Maybe I'll give up this land for peace. And I'll just do this. And then after a while, they'd take you up on that. And then after a while, they say, you know what? We can't have them thinking about Jesus in their own mind. Because they might come out and do something. And they'd create some kind of machine or something and force up with everybody daily and have to pass by, come into the work or something. They'd scan your brain and find out whether you've been thinking about Jesus or not, so they'd get rid of it. Now, you may think that's kind of stupid to express it that way, but I make it that way so that you might understand that they'll never be happy with you. And when Satan puts pressure on you to give up the blessings of God and quit standing so much for God, all he's trying to do is take fortification from you so that he can defeat you easier. That's all he's doing. And you'll never be able to give up enough to him to make him happy, because he wants you destroyed. And it's playing out right there over in Israel. Because Satan, for the Christians, Satan has embedded himself in Catholicism, and that's the spirit that's in Catholicism. They won't rest until they shut the thing down and there's no Christians except what's supposedly underneath them. And that same spirit's in Islam as an archenemy to the Jewish people. That same spirit. You say same spirit? Yes, same spirit. Go check it out. See if they're not guilty of the same things. Same spirit over in Islam. And they say, give up some of this land and we'll be peaceful with you. What? when it's in your own doctrines that you want to drive Israel plumb off into the sea. They don't even have Israel on their maps. They show it that Israel's not even there. That's how much they're so much against it. Because they are an enemy that they will not be satisfied until there's not an Israel existing anywhere. And that's the devil. And the Catholic Church will not be happy until they've destroyed every Protestant, everyone who's not underneath their reins. Same spirits. What is it? Now, when you look at all of that, what's it doing? Taking God down from where he was, where he is, and causing man to treat his fellow man. You see what I'm saying? It's that other kingdom from beneath. It's all from down there. But now, what kingdom do we stand for? We stand for the one that's righteousness. And so we're going from this day, as we leave this house of God today, we're stepping out there on the battlefield, and as we walk out of this church, we're going to arm ourselves and say, you know what? I'm a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not putting up with any of this compromised stuff. This stuff where Satan wants to bring this in, and I've allowed it, or he comes to do this, and I've allowed that, or maybe I haven't, but I haven't dealt with them. Not anymore. That's the devil. He's here to take me out, and I'm shutting it down. I'm stopping what he's trying to do to me, what he's trying to do to my family, what he's trying to do with my church, and my brothers, and my sisters. We're putting a stop to it because I'm a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm out here to identify the devils and to destroy them and give them no place in the kingdom of God. Right? Brother Graham said, God displaces the devil. God pushes the devil out of his domain, right? Light, when it walks into the room, pushes darkness out. We are not to have these things in our domain. And we've got the authority and the power. We just, like I said, we won't be defeated. You just got to take a stand. You just have to arm yourself and say, I am a soldier. I can't be defeated. And I'm going to stand for righteousness, and these things are going, and I'm going to win. He might whimper, he might whine. You might have to deal with a person that's got a devil on them. And they might get mad, they might whimper, they might whine, but when it's all over with, that devil's going to be driven from them, and they're going to be on your side. Right? If it's a family member, if it's a loved one, I'll say it this way, if it's somebody that you're applying the token over, but it's time to quit petting these things that have just... It's time for us to say, you know what? I'm not going to give up things just to try and satisfy my enemy. Because he's not going to be satisfied. We might as well just let him know that he's being whooped, he's being defeated, and God's people come out on top. Amen? So onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Amen. How many feel like soldiers?
Yeah. Okay.
I hope you've been encouraged to go out and engage the battle even stronger. Don't look for physical comforts of life. That's not your gauge. Right? That's not the gauge. We all have comforts of life. We thank God for them. We thank Him for the air conditioner that's not working the best in the world, but we thank Him for it. But we don't have to have that serve God. Right? How many would come in here and serve God with the same zeal, the same expression, if we didn't have AC? It's a good question. See what I'm saying? We're not babies. I pray that we don't have to do that. But if it came to that, we're not babies. We're going to fight. Amen? And so we thank the Lord for His blessings upon us. I'll have a closing prayer for a minute, and then Brother Tim and the musicians can go ahead and come up, and I think Brother Tim's going to make a little announcement there about the voting. And I appreciate, I just want to go on record just to say I appreciate all the men and the people who serve in the church. I think they do a wonderful job. I feel very blessed as pastor of a church to have the brothers that we have in the assembly and have the saints, and just want you to pray for us. Pray for all those that are in these positions. Just bow our hearts to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, we just want to give you praise and honor and glory. Just to thank you for truth, Lord, because It's what makes us free, not just setting us free, but making us free. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for knowing these things that you've allowed us to come to terms with, to know that we are your children. We are soldiers in your army. And we thank you, Lord, for the victories that you've given us. Just ask, God, that you would just be with each one as we go, and they would arm themselves with this this understanding, Lord, that we are your soldier, your army, and we're not defeated. I pray, God, that you'd make that a reality to us each day and give us that strength and stamina, spiritually speaking, to move on and to possess and move forward, not just to be defensive all the time, but to be offensive and take ground back and advance forward in the kingdom of heaven, rather than just trying to hold our own or even giving up land. But let us move forward and possess new things and take back things that have been taken from us. I ask, God, that you would help each one of us in this way. And help me, Lord, to do the same. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We can sing just a little song before we get ready to go, and before Brother Tim makes his announcement, if you want me to do it. So. Okay. All votes were yes for both offices. So, Lord, thank Brother Tim and Brother Daniel were the two that were being elected again this time. Brother Daniel and his treasurer, it's a yearly thing. Even though there was a couple of years we forgot to do that because we thought it was 3 years, but it's every year. And of course, the trustees are every 3 years. So thank you for coming and voting and so forth. So bring Tim in.
For he is Lord.
So stand.
He is Lord.
Yeah.